Hi, I'm Mike Webb, and welcome to another ProPublica podcast. Today I'm talking with Michael Grabel, who's been covering our federal stimulus bill for over a year now. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Mike.
Now, your reporting has covered a wide range of issues relating to the stimulus and the projects it's funding. So let's start by finding out how you got on the beat.
Well, we started over a year ago before anyone really knew how large the stimulus would be or what would be in it. But we knew that it was, number one, it was going to be large, and we knew that it was coming. So given the government's record with large spending packages that were happening very quickly, we kind of knew this was something that an investigative journalist would want to watch.
Why did you focus on transportation?
We focused on transportation because that was the area that committees and different people who were analyzing the stimulus package thought was going to create the most jobs. You know, that was obviously one of the issues that people were talking about a lot were road and bridge construction projects and their ability to create, you know, millions of jobs.
Okay. And were you able to make any determinations about whether the stimulus package had been put together in a smart way or?
Sure. We found that there was really no relation between where the money was going and the unemployment and poverty. Some areas that had high unemployment were doing really well and getting a lot of their share of stimulus money, where other areas weren't getting very much stimulus money at all. We found other issues where areas that really weren't impacted by the recession that much were getting a lot of stimulus money. And in doing this, we looked not only at the transportation spending, but tried to expand it to all pots of money that we could track down to a county level. So we ended up being able to really look at and analyze about $55 billion, which was a large share of the stimulus spending at that time.
Now, I'm curious about how your reporting grew. How did it change over time as you started writing reports and gathering information?
Well, in covering the stimulus package, we wanted to do several things. We wanted to, number one, track where the money was being spent. Number two, we wanted to make sure, you know, find out, was it going to the places where it was most needed? And third, you know, was it going to good companies that have had a record of spending the government's money wisely? So as time has gone on, we've been able to move to different parts of this project. And now we're, you know, now that some money is on the ground and products are starting, we're starting to hear about and look closer at contractors who may be questionable or projects that may be not happening with the smoothest efficiency that the government will want.
And that was one of the topics of your latest stories, where you examined some of the contractors that were under investigation and were banned. What do you have to do to get banned from getting stimulus money?
We had a story back in October that we published with USA Today that looked at six defense contractors that received stimulus money all over the country, even though at the time they were under criminal investigation for defrauding the government through this small business program that was designed to give contracts or help small minority businesses get government contracts. So this has come up a lot. And in the latest story we did, we sort of looked at, well, what does it take to be banned and how does this, how does the government figure this out? It's a really technical issue where if one person gets banned, that doesn't mean his companies get banned. Or if his companies get banned, that doesn't mean that everybody associated with the companies gets banned. So you have these loopholes where people who may or may not have been involved in the the questionable activity are still able to get government contracts.
So tell us about one of your stories that caused the most impact. There were some surprising funding choices.
This was a story where we were looking at the which airports got the most stimulus money. And if you were to think about this or take a poll on the street, you'd probably hear the biggest airport. People would think it would be Chicago O'Hare, JFK, Atlanta, Newark, Dallas. And when we looked at it, we found it was one of them was Yuzinki Airport.
Yuzinki, where's Yuzinki?
Yuzinki is in Alaska. It is on an island off of an island off of the southern coast of Alaska.
And how much stimulus money did they get?
They got $15 million to build a brand new airport there. $15 million was the maximum grant they could have gotten, or that anybody could have gotten. Now, at the same time, the DOT Inspector General, after our story came out, looked at the airports and found that, yes, Yuzinki was probably one of the lowest priority airports that received stimulus money.
So how did that happen?
So the stimulus money was designed to sort of give a boost to projects that couldn't have happened any other way. And so there were several different things that happened. You know, one, the project had to be ready to go in 90 days. Two, there was a requirement that there couldn't be any other pot of money that was funding this project. So you couldn't use stimulus money and your state tax money and your local tax money. You couldn't use stimulus money and other FAA grants, or if you got money through your parking revenue or landing fees, you couldn't use that along with your stimulus grant. But at the same time, there are very large airports that have large projects that would have happily taken more money, you know, that also needed the money.
I want to ask you now about another story that you published. The title was Stimulus for Cotton Candy, Tango and a Fish Orchestra, Wacky or Actually Worthy. And one of the points you make in this story is that someone got $146 for a snow cone and cotton candy machine. How in the world is stimulus money being directed to that? And why such a small amount?
So in this situation, a health center in Oklahoma was opening up their doors for the first time. And in order to encourage people to come in, they had a health fair. And at the health fair, they had, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers and all this stuff, and they rented a snow cone machine and a cotton candy machine. And so that showed up as one of the expenses. And so there's a lot of funny or unusual sounding projects in the stimulus package, and you could fill Fox News for the next year by going through these. But, you know, what we were trying to do in that story is show that even though some of these projects sound funny, they kind of are the building blocks to what, you know, the government hopes will be economic recovery. But we've seen that the government itself has had trouble kind of defining what they want and what they don't want stimulus money to be spent on. So a few weeks before this report that we did came out, you know, Joe Biden, the vice president, came out and said, we've really been good stewards of the public's money and we have stopped or altered these projects. And he mentioned resetting gravestones at the cemetery as one of them, steam cleaning bird droppings off of buildings. You know, they stopped or modified a project to freeze fish sperm. And when we went through and saw what actually people were spending money on, we found people resetting headstones, people were steam cleaning bird droppings off of bridges, and people were freezing fish sperm with stimulus money.
Now, accountability-wise, that's another thing that you guys have been looking at, is trying to see if the stimulus actually does produce as many jobs as the Obama administration has promised. Have you been able to track that and figure that out?
Well, and this jobs issue is really really been a difficult one, because there's many different ways that the government is trying to track jobs. One is through this, you know, economic advisors estimate, which is the one you hear about, 3.5 million jobs by the end of 2010. And right now, I think we're up to about 1.5 to 2 million jobs. The other way that they're trying to track jobs is asking all the recipients to report back how many jobs have you created with this project. And there was a lot of criticism when those reports came back and said 650,000 jobs have been created, when people were finding that people were counting raises as jobs. People were finding that, you know, they put 20 jobs down after getting $15 or whatever. So it raised a lot of questions about how do you do this. So back, you know, after Christmas, we came across this sort of little noticed memo saying that the government was going to change the way that it was going to be counting jobs.
Because it was so complex.
And now they were just going to be reporting jobs funded with the stimulus package. So we sort of saw a change from when they were trying to sell the package, they were talking about creating jobs immediately, to second was saving jobs and creating jobs over time. And now the terminology we're hearing is funding jobs. You know, so with that story, it now became almost impossible to track how many stimulus jobs have actually been created and really audit or account for that. And it's a very difficult thing. And you talk to auditors or accountants and they'll say, this is something that we don't really do, is to count jobs.
Right. So there's just no easy answer on the job creation front.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. What surprised you most in covering the stimulus?
I think what surprised me most is how difficult it really is to track how the government spends its money. So this was supposed to, you know, this effort with the stimulus package, with recovery.gov, was supposed to be this dramatic transformation into you know, open all the books and show people how much money is being spent, where it's being spent, how many jobs has been created. But when you actually look at the data, it's a lot more difficult to figure out, okay, well, who are the subcontractors on this project? Why did they get that subcontract? Why are they doing this project on a no-bid contract? You know, no-bid meaning there's no competition. Even with this transparency, there's a lot of just information of we gave our contracts to this many companies. And it's really hard to still with that figure out exactly who spent the money, where do they spend it, and why do they spend the money on it. I mean, in the data, you know, one thing we saw was $19.24 was spent at Fuddruckers. And they, you know, you saw
was
a little
that
note.
Somebody's receipt?
It was a receipt. Somebody had breakfast there. You know, if you really dig into it, you find that this had something to do with special education in a certain state. On first glance, there's money going to beach resorts and money going to yacht clubs. And you kind of wonder, you know, why are we spending money on this? And it takes multiple levels of reporting to actually go beyond the government transparency and say, okay, that yacht place was going for port security to install cameras so that they can better monitor the ports in Chicago.
All right. Well, we've been talking to Michael Grabel. He's been following the stimulus. You can read all of the stories that Michael's reported on and the entire ProPublica stimulus team at www.propublica.org/stimulus. Thanks for listening to this podcast. It's been produced by Joaquin Sapien and Sharona Coots. I'm Mike Webb. We'll see you next week.